Welcome to Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. We're in the studio and we have some new peeps here. I'm going to let you just introduce yourself because it's easier for me.
Hi, I'm Naomi Gosen.
I'm Maddie Schmidt.
I'm Zach Wasserman.
And I'm Grant Rye.
And Grant's been here. And then Terry and myself, Sandy. And we thank you for joining us. We are in Philippians 4. And we are going to just backtrack a little bit and pick some up for the kids to hear and, rejoice. The chapter is about rejoicing in the Lord.
Yeah, God is so good. I love the book of Philippians. What everybody needs to understand, and we'll just kind of do a recap so that everybody in the house, because it's Christmas break, and so we have some students from Elkhorn and Omaha Christian Academy, and then Naomi is a teacher at Morton and Davis Junior High here in the city, and then Sandy and myself. I was telling Grant on the way into the radio, I'm so excited because right now in this room, we have a pretty good generational span between mine and Sandy's ages and y'all's. And that's awesome because that's honestly the way I think God intended for us to handle the Word of God. The book of Philippians is Paul writing to the people of Philippi. And what most people don't realize, or they don't make that connection, is this is actually Paul met these people in Acts 16. Acts 16 is when he was going down to the river and Lydia was down there and they were doing prayer and he met with them. And then also with the demon-possessed girl that he commanded the demon to leave her that was following him around in the city. And then the jailer, when he and Silas were singing in prison, and the jailer and his whole family came to know the Lord. Those were the first believers in Philippi led through Paul. And this letter is being written back to them to encourage them, because right now he is in prison and he is literally chained wrist to wrist with a Roman soldier that they are rotating every few hours, a different Roman soldier. And he's telling them, rejoice. So he's writing from prison, chained to a Roman soldier, telling them to rejoice. And the crazy thing is that every soldier that he is sitting with is hearing the gospel, and they are rotating them often because they don't trust Paul and what could happen. And so that's kind of the background. Now, the verse we're going to start with, last time we had started chapter 4. We keep thinking someday we're going to finish. We've been in this book for a very long time, almost a year now, and we're just now to chapter 4, verse 5. And the verse says, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. That's the very beginning of the verse. And but we had shared on the radio, and I want us to go back and recap the Amplified version, because I love how it expands what the Word of God actually means. And so in the Amplified, it says, let all men know and perceive and recognize your unselfishness, your considerateness, and your forbearing spirit. The Lord is near. He is coming soon. So here Paul is telling the people of Philippi, I want you to be a people that are reasonable enough, that are kind enough, that people will recognize that you belong to Jesus and that you're waiting for his return. And so I'm just thinking through that. And so it's going to be important when we get to the point where Paul talks about contentment, because you can't actually reason with somebody if you're yourself not content where you're at. And so he's wanting to get that settled in on the people. So when we read this verse, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. What do you think of, and what comes to mind in your world as you're experiencing life? And it's okay to talk. I will fill the void so you don't have to be afraid, but I'd love to hear your thoughts. When you think of somebody who's reasonable, or when you have a call to be reasonable, what's on your heart?
Well, I find it kind of funny because in my version it says, let your graciousness be known to everyone instead of let your reasonableness.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of interesting because it's tying the two together, being gracious and being reasonable, and saying that if you're being reasonable, you're going to understand and try to perceive from other people's perspective how they're dealing with things, and therefore being gracious to them.
Mm, that's good.
Yeah, mine says considerate.
Yeah, that's so good.
Yeah,
that's good. I had shared that the word gentleness can also be used, and that comes in other places in the Bible. It comes from the Greek word krestotes in Greek, which this is not what it means, but this is what it helps me to remember when I see the word gentleness, to be a crest. And that's like C-H-R-E-S-T. I think Christ, carriers, a tote. So if I'm going to be gentle with people, I should be a Christ carrier. That's not what it means, but that's my little thing that I helped. So I'm going to be a Christ carrier. When we look at reasonableness, it's about the heart of the person. He's trying to get to the heart, and he's wanting the people to understand that, because he knows that actually his death is imminent. He can tell things are coming to a climax in what God's doing in his life. And he's wanting to make sure that their hearts are in the right place. And he's wanting them to be thinking through how they're choosing to be in relationship, because if they are not rightly relating with people, they're not going to be able to reach each other. And so we actually just saw early on in the passage that he was talking about Euodia, and Syntyche, and how they were arguing, and he was asking all of the workers to come together and help these two get back together in unity, because they used to be people who shared the gospel, and he's not wanting that messed up. And so he's thinking through that. And then as I was preparing this, I thought, wow, you know, there are other places in the Bible. Can you think of other examples of different people in the Bible that you saw that the people cared for people? Whether it doesn't matter. You can use Jesus. You can use Paul. You can use Old Testament. Just think on people caring for people. Can you think of examples where you've seen people caring?
Pouring the perfume over Jesus' head. And it was very costly for her.
Okay.
Because it's...
All right. That's good. That's good. And Jesus was very reasonable and gentle in the response to those that rejected
yes,
that.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. All right. What else? Can you guys think of different examples? That's a toughie to ask
I'm
that.
Thinking.
Jesus cared for the 5,000 people on the hill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he did.
And he cared for, just a lot of them. And he did it from just a minimal amount, but he made sure that they all had enough to be satisfied.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. And I love that Maddie chose the word satisfied, because what we're going to find when we get into this, the word contentment, and we'll take it further when we get there, actually comes from the word satiated or satisfaction. And so it is, when Jesus is the one that does it, it is, we will completely be satisfied. Grant, did you have one you were going to share? Okay, so with the example of Maddie, Scripture actually tells us that Jesus looked out upon the crowds, and he saw that they were harassed and hassled, and he had compassion for them. So we see his care. But there's an example in 2 Corinthians 11:28. I'll just have Naomi read that verse for us, and we'll look at it, and it shows an example of how Paul cared for people.
It says, apart from such external things, there is the daily pressure on me of concern for all the churches.
Mm. Okay. How was Paul towards the people?
Loving.
Yeah.
And caring.
Yeah. And it, he felt weighted the pressure, you know, and I mean,
you know, what I love about Paul, too, is that his heart is for the people, just like Jesus. You know, and he always wanted to make sure that they got their due reward, too, by caring for other people. He's teaching them through his encouragement and love.
I think it was, I had two radio shows ago, we talked about that we should be careful how we shepherd the flock. Because Paul, that's part of what Paul is challenging them. And so literally having that burden for the people that you have. And we went through and talked about when we're caring for the flock, it is what I can do for you, not what you can do for me. And so having that in our mindset. And so 2 Corinthians 11:28 is another example of that. Also in Philippians 2:20, he said it also there. And so I'll let Maddie read that one right here in the verse, and how Paul had said that in chapter 2.
For I have no one else of kindred spirit who will genuinely be concerned for your welfare.
Okay, and he's talking about sending Timothy. And so having those people that are alongside you that you trust, that you are going to have, that you can say, oh, you know what? That's all right. I can send Naomi. I've done ministry now with Naomi. I don't know. It was at least 2 years we were together as a team, but I've known you 4 years now, and then longer if you count. I knew her when she was at Omaha Christian Academy. But actually serving in ministry, we served together for 2 years at Grace and served with her long enough that I know what her giftings are and how she serves God and what her heart looks like, and I know how she shepherds people so that I can in confidence send her out. And so His care isn't just for the people and having compassion, but it's also saying, okay, I care for you enough that I have people I've trained up that I'm willing to send out to you. And so all of this is going on inside him as he is talking to the people of Philippi. And we need that because it's going to prepare us for the next part. Grant, would you read for us Philippians 4, verses 6 through 7?
Okay. Do not worry about anything, but in everything through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses every thought, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.
Okay. What do you think he's trying to point out here?
Well, really that, you know, in all things, we really need to be focused on God, no matter how worrying or anxious it makes us, because God's in control of everything.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What else? Anybody want to add to it?
Yeah, I think it really kind of goes along when Jesus said, you know, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Mm-hmm. And I really think this kind of is really just saying, you know, no matter how bad things might be, I'm still with you because God is always with the people mm-hmm. who have called him.
That's awesome.
Very good.
Very good.
And I think because he's tying in worry and prayer, and like worry is when we're taking it all on ourselves, and then prayer is when we put it on God. And so he's wanting that transition to happen.
It's very important. Very important. Okay. Whenever we look at scripture, I know that these four in this room are people who have studied and have been taught this, and I thank God for that. But you should always be asking, are there any commands? Are there any promises? Is there something I should be looking at? And so is there a command that we see very clearly? And right off the bat in verse 6, the command is?
Don't worry.
Don't worry.
About anything.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Does anybody in this room break that command?
Yeah. Well, like, let's see.
Oh, how is it he knew that we would be that way today? I just, because it's a condition of the heart. It doesn't matter what country we go to. This is an issue. And anxiety, we've talked about this on numerous occasions on the radio. It's actually a sin. Mm-hmm. And it's because it's going back to what Naomi had just shared, in that when we are anxious or when we worry, it's me trying to carry it versus if I'm giving it to God, mm-hmm. going back to what Zach had said, that, or was it Grant, and like going blank now, which boy, had said it, in that it's about the focus of being in relationship with God. And so we can actually remove ourselves. We look at outward sins and see them as huge factors in separating people from God, but we can forget somebody can look and walk and appear to be right with God, but inside their heart be anxious and have complete separation because they're not dwelling on God. They're dwelling on their fear, their worry, their anxiety. And so we've got to make sure that we ourselves are taking care of that, because nobody else can do that. That's us. And so in that command, Grant and did Michaela go with us to see Fantastic Creatures?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, she did.
All right, and there was a quote. Oh, it was so good. And I shared this on the radio last time. It said, don't worry because then you live it twice.
That is good.
Isn't that,
like, that's true.
And just Grant and I had some awesome conversations after we saw that movie because of that line. And then just we were talking about it in the living room, and I just remember thinking, not twice. I mean, literally, I'm showing my sinfulness. When I'm worried about some, I think I live it 1,000 times.
Yeah, when you dwell on it,
honestly,
you do.
And truly. And so sure. When you think of it in that simple terms, I think that author caught that really well. But the command is what to do.
Yeah.
What is the command here?
To pray, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. You know, I was just thinking about it. It's always a choice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no matter what. His commands are a choice because he gives free will, but the choice is he gives us also the solution of how to solve the anxiety problem.
Right. That's exactly right, Sandy. The cure for anxiety, worry, is prayer, and then supplication, and then thanksgiving. Okay, so one, the choice to draw near to God. Two, to bring before him what it is, and then in thanksgiving, recognize that God keeps his promises. Mm-hmm.
David Jeremiah said in one of his, I don't know, I put it down from last time, when the problem is worry, The prescription is prayer, proper thinking, and proper response.
That's good. That's very good. I love David Jeremiah.
I do too.
Okay, so I have this awesome verse. I want you to look it up for me, Zach. Psalm 145:16. And I want us to pull this in and look at this verse along with what we're going to be looking at. So thinking through, he says, I want your reasonableness, your gentleness, your graciousness to be made known. Because if that's known, then people know that the Lord's near. Right? That is what he's asking them to do. Now, let's read Psalm 145:16 and see what it says.
It says, you open your hand, you satisfy the desire of every living thing.
Okay, who's you?
God.
Correct. All right. It says that when we're in God's hand, he is the one that satisfies all things within us. In my translation that I use, the NLT, right now I'm reading through the Bible, it says that he's the one that satisfies the hunger and the thirst. And then if you think we're called to hunger and thirst for righteousness, so whatever we're hungering and thirsting over, struggling over, if we bring it to him in supplication and we bring it into his hands, he's the one that will satisfy that. And that's where contentment comes. And if you take it further, I think it'll go into that it's peace will flow. Is it the next verse? I think it may say that. But I may be wrong because I had read a lot this morning when I was going back over this. We have here the command to pray. All right. When you guys are thinking about, I don't know, we have how much time?
We have one minute.
No, we're not going to go there, are we? Well, we have been looking at so many things. Reasonableness, graciousness, gentleness, how we deal with our anxiety, prayer and supplication. That's a lot. It's simple. And yet it's applicable in every country that we're in. And it's applicable right here in the United States. But it's not easy, is it? In fact, I wrote down, God, this is easy said, hard to live. Mm-hmm. Because when you're hit with something, you have to be willing to do it. But Paul tells us in a little while in this letter, he says, if we do this, we'll know what it is to have that satisfaction that Maddie talked about. That, like, literally, Jesus, when he sees the need and meets it, it's to satisfaction. And they had food left over, more than what they needed. Mm-hmm. And so we have to recognize that. We want you guys to come back and listen so that we'll take this further. We're so glad you're listening to Cultivating Hearts. You can contact us at tararye.com, cultivatinghearts.org, or opendoormission.org. God bless.